Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. Well, we've been ministering from the first several chapters of the book of Daniel, and the title of this message is Unwilling to Compromise. I took a lot of time just reviewing the scriptures, and what we see in those first few chapters, chapter 2 and 3, we read about two images. The first one was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of a great image. Remember, it was head of gold and silver, brass, iron, and iron mixed with clay. Speaking of basically that image represented man's rule throughout history. And the second one was man's worship. That was in chapter 3. That was the image of gold that was set up in the plain of Dura, which was the visible expression of Nebuchadnezzar's so-called new theology, if you will. It was to be a grand celebration, and it was a new popular religion, as it were, to bring a new trial to the servants of God. However, of course, we know that God miraculously displayed His power with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And what does this have to do with us today? Well, beloved, we are also, the Christians that are alive on the face of earth today, are going to face very similar situations. Those our persecuted brethren in certain nations of the world are already experiencing that. They are being forced to deny Christ if they want to live, and if they choose to remain faithful, they will suffer martyrdom. They will be killed. And I was going through my Bible and found some notes I had on seven signs of Christ's return. The first would be the return of Jews to Israel. That has already occurred. There's a Jewish state that was set up. It was 1947, and they are continuing to return to Jerusalem and Israel. And then, secondly, there's a rise of a superpower, that 10-nation power. Many believe it is a consolidated federation in Europe. Others, that it may be in the Middle East. Thirdly, it's the appearance of the Antichrist. And fourthly, a new religion. And how that's going to express itself, I know there's many variations in terms of the Word of God. They're trying to take out the power of Jesus' name and the blood of Jesus. Some have suggested would start as an amalgamation of the three great monotheistic religions of the world, such as Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. In fact, there are some hybrid beliefs of Chrislam, Christianity, and Islam. I don't see how that can that is beyond mentally, but trust me, we are, unless we know the Word of God, we are very susceptible to the lies of the enemy. And then, of course, just to finish this list, there's the Third Temple. They've got all the materials. It will not take long to build it. It's already, the priests are being trained. And so that would take not very long to accomplish. And then, of course, we know the reference in Ezekiel 38, there's an invasion from the north into Israel, Gog and Magog. And then, of course, finally, the Battle of Armageddon. These are the seven signs of Christ's return. Well, beloved, what does that have to do with us today? Why am I sharing about the book of Daniel? Because In that chapter 3, there was a new national idol has been set up. Beloved, there's going to be a false religion that is going to appear in the end times. Man's flesh is always setting up some new thing as an object of worship. Well, we don't have idols of gold and silver today, but we have other things that take the place of worship, whether it's sports, whether it's Hollywood. I mean, the reverence, if you will, the idolatry that occurs of some Hollywood stars that, oh, they just look up to actors and actresses as if they're the final authority on everything and anything. And, of course, it's all more seductive and attractive with all kinds of fanfare and musical attractions and things to draw people to be entertained and dulled with their senses, if you will, by the things of this world. And in verse 7 of that chapter 3, we find the king set it up himself. And obviously that would be a great temptation to those who were to Jewish believers, to Daniel and the three Hebrews. What were what could they have done? Obviously, they had one chance. They could have save their situation. They'd been set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. That was chapter 2, 49. They were government officials. They held a very high governmental and social position of prestige. They probably received a good salary. And we say, well, this is Old Testament. Well, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 10, Paul made a very short and simple statement. He said, Demas, one of his disciples that he was mentoring, forsook him when worldly advantage was to be gained. So obviously, this is a temptation for Christians everywhere, in all ages, to compromise their beliefs. And they were tempted, I'm speaking now, of course, Daniel and those, the Jews, they were tempted to sacrifice their conscience. All the king commanded was that they just compromise their values just a little bit with their calling, with their dedication to God. Beloved, this is what every false religion, every false idol wants God's people to do. And unless we are fully committed to the Lord, unless we know the Word of God and are committed to that and sit under ministries that preach the whole counsel of God, it is possible for us to be deceived. There are whole denominations that have gone the way of apostasy in the hour in which we are living. And then I shared, if you listened to the broadcast previously, in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we find that the three Hebrew children, their testimony was absolutely resolute. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. We will not serve thy gods. You know, they not only talk about a good faith, they demonstrated their faith in the power of God when it really got rough, when it got tough. If so be, our God is able. And beloved, those of us who know and love and serve God daily know of His keeping power. Think of the times when you have been so low. You've been depressed. You've been oppressed. You've been through times of great crisis. God was always faithful, and He will be faithful to the end, not only in terms of our own earthly life, but until the final hours of mankind. He will be faithful. Only God, only the Father knows, the whole timetable. We tempt to try to understand it. As I shared recently in a letter, my opinion is, I copied something from Iverna Tompkins, which she said she had a great sense of humor. What was her opinion on the rapture? Was it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? She said, whatever preacher I heard last. And there's something to be said for that, because there's convincing scriptures for every position. But the point is, we just need to be ready. And so they just made it clear, we will not serve thy gods. And so that those who serve the Lord know that He's able to strengthen us to stand when everything around us is screaming, give in just this once. Oh, this is not a really big deal. It may not be to denounce the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's in smaller ways. Listen, the devil works by increments. If he can get you to fall just a little, then you are open that there's a crack in your armor, and he's willing to pursue that. He knows humankind very well. He knows man's nature. But thank God, when we are weak, then we are strong in the Lord Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And in verse 26 and 27, we find They were cast into the furnace because of their refusal to compromise and to conform to the king's wishes. They were cast into the fiery furnace, but the fire had no power over them. In verse 25, we find to his awe and amazement, he says, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire." Beloved, think about this. They weren't saved from the fiery furnace, but they were delivered in it, which really was an even greater deliverance and demonstration of the keeping power of God. And so, beloved, when you go through fiery trials, remember, even through this trial, the Hebrew children, they weren't alone. There was another with them. And beloved, that is what God is calling us to today, that we will take a stand, that we will set our faces as a flint, and we will not be moved by what we see, by what we hear, but we will be as firm in our commitment to serve the living God as we see the heroes of the Bible, as we see Daniel, for example. As I shared, he served through the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and then I think it was the sixth chapter, he was under the reign of Darius, and then there was again persecution. He prayed unto the Lord God of Israel, as was his wont, three times a day. And so the enemy never gave up with Daniel, but he preserved his integrity. Praise God. And there's, let me just turn quickly to that. The Lord just quickened that final scripture, because following in the book of Daniel, there's much interpretation in terms of end times and prophetic words. In verse 14, it says, "Knowledge shall be increased." We certainly see that. And he says in verse 10, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, we're going to continue on tomorrow. I have some few more scriptures to share. I want to pray for us, for the body of Christ, that we can be strong in the hour in which we're living. And know that I do pray for my UCM partners, my radio family, every day. And whatever the needs may be in your life, know that the enemy, he's a wily foe. We've been given authority over him. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, but there's power in agreement. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, I will confirm, I will pray. And if you would like a personal answer, I invite you to share your mailing address. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.